Hello.
Okay, I didn't know if you were going to do it or not.
Suspense, man. Gotta have the drama. Welcome to Section 119 Sports. This is our weekly Aggie podcast. And this week we will be talking everything Aggie basketball because, frankly, there's nothing else going on. So prep for some hoops.
Yeah, and I'm done talking football. It's past. It's over.
We'll talk about it in a couple weeks or months when the wounds have healed slightly and there's stuff to talk about, like a nice recruit. But for now,
got to take a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
Anyway, today it's just Daniel and myself here. Trevor is out at like a musical or something.
We're going to say Hamilton, which, so it at least sounds cool.
Like, but I'm not going to judge. That's cool. Do it. You do you. So Trevor's out tonight. Actually, I mean, to be fair, we usually do this on Tuesday nights. And Tuesday night is the basketball game. So
we can't miss Great Falls.
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere else, but whatever.
So anyway, it's just Daniel and I here tonight. We'll try not to mess it up too bad. But like Daniel said, we're going to be talking some Aggie hoops, men's and women's. Before we start talking sports, do you have any pressing issues that we need to talk about, Daniel?
I found a really good stew recipe that I actually just shared with Ethan Chadwick, and it's a good stew recipe. Other than that, no. Do you have anything, Jaden?
Nope. Just go to Daniel's Twitter, and he'll tweet that out.
Exactly. Stew recipes are my forte. Anyways, the women's basketball team. Let's start off there a little bit. Let's be honest. Aggie sports recently has been a letdown across many spectrums, including the spectrum, to be honest. I mean, we'll get to the Indiana State game in a bit, but women's basketball is probably the only thing right now that's actually not just good, but actually,
like, exceeding expectations.
Exceeding expectations, actually pleasurable to watch at this point in time. I mean,
I'll agree with that.
I mean, granted, again, I should be more knowledgeable than I am on women's sports, but the little I do know is that they did not have many expectations this year, and we've said that before on the show, I think. But I think they're 6-2 now.
Yeah.
Going to be starting conference play soon, but I mean,
So the women's basketball team, they were picked to finish 9th out of 11 in the Mountain West Conference. They lost their top scorer, who transferred to Florida. And, like, there really wasn't much of a positive outlook coming into the season. But, man, they're killing it. So they, like Daniel said, they're 6-2 plus an exhibition. So they're 6-2. They just recently went down to Utah and lost at a very close game.
Yeah, lost by 7 points.
And it went right down to the end.
So, I mean,
and Utah, like, Utah's a very good women's basketball program. They also lost to Southern Utah, which, from what I hear, was a bit of a fluke.
That's what I've heard.
I wasn't there. But,
and granted, I mean, low expectations, they're not going to be like a Duke or something like that. So, I mean,
right,
it's understandable to have that game. This week's going to be actually kind of big for them, too. Or is it? It's actually next week, sorry. UVU and BYU in 1 week.
Both at home.
Yeah, both at home. And then right after that, they play at Arizona. Like, that might actually be the best game of either men's or women's basketball. The best team that we played this entire year. I'm not sure how well.
Yep.
Arizona's women's basketball is, but
that's to wrap up their non-conference schedule, and then they hop right into Mountain West. So I actually went out to the first game of the year that I've been able to make it out to for the women's, because it was the first game that wasn't at like 10 in the morning on a Sunday or a Tuesday or whatever. I went out on Thursday and watched them play Idaho State, like, I'm not going to pretend like I know women's basketball, but just asking around and looking online and whatnot, they were projected to be a pretty decent team. And, I mean, just from start to finish, Utah State looked like the better team. And they're really fun to watch. They've got 3 Australians in the starting lineup, 4 total.
Yeah, it's always awesome when you have 4, and especially Australian players.
I mean, yeah, and they've also got a Brazilian player. And, like, it's just it's like a super very good fundamental team that is actually enjoyable to watch. So,
yeah. There's, like, I guess a theory for this. If you follow Bill Simmons at all, have you heard of, like, his Ewing theory before?
No.
Okay, so brief recap. The Ewing theory, it happens when a team's best player goes out with, like, an injury or something, and the rest of the team just, like, completely steps up and actually becomes a better team. And, of course, it was named after Patrick Ewing because he got injured, and then the Knicks became a better team somehow. I think that's kind of what's happening with the women's team a little bit, just with Funda, I think, over the offseason transferring to Florida, like you mentioned. I think a lot of the players are just kind of stepping up and just kind of filling a gap that everybody thought was never going to be filled. So,
yeah.
Props to the women.
Yeah, if you're, like, if you want just a good, entertaining basketball game that is cheap and you don't have to fight for a good spot and...
Or if you love heckling players and them actually being able to hear you.
See, that's a lot of fun, too. We really got under that Idaho State coach's skin. But, yeah, I mean, if you want something like that, seriously, these games are fun. Like Daniel said, this week they're actually off. They don't have anything this week. But next week on the 15th, Utah Valley, and on the 17th, BYU. So,
get another chance to beat a bunch of pussies.
Hopefully.
Probably shouldn't say that regarding women's sports, but whatever.
Yeah, so anyway, we won't spend too much time on this. I think, you know, once conference play rolls around and we've seen a little bit more from the women's team, I think we can spend a little more time talking about that. But men's team, it's like, I don't know. So
there's a lot more to talk about.
Exactly. There's a lot more to talk about, I think, at this point in the season. You start out on a 4-game winning streak. Well, 3.5, I guess.
4, because you had like 2 half games, I guess.
Yeah. And then go and lose 4 straight. A 4-game losing streak for Utah State basketball just seems so wrong and so unacceptable. But I think that once you look at it for what it really is, given, okay, so we went and we lost to Purdue. We lost to Texas Tech. Both of those were ugly, bad games. And we lost to BYU, also pretty ugly looking game. Those are 3 games we were supposed to lose, though. I don't know what the lines were, but I mean, we were certainly supposed BYU was like to lose a 9-point favorite. Each of them. Exactly. So, I mean, like, you can't get 2 down after losing those 3. Indiana State, that's a decent team. That's certainly a game we should win in the spectrum. We all saw how that went. You know, you get a big lead and then choke it away and ended up losing on that last second shot. But I think that just saying we're on a 4-game losing streak, we're 3-4, I think that makes it feel so much worse than it actually is.
Yeah, especially when you look at the program. Past couple of years, a 4-game losing streak, I'm not sure if it's happened before recently, but I mean, it's not exactly like we're coming off a 25-win season or right, something. This right. team's rebounding. The program's kind of being built up. I think we forget how much talent, frankly, is kind of devoid on this team. I mean, granted, there's a lot of potential and stuff there. But, I mean, only 4 returning players, that only 4 players that have had any D1 experience before this year. Even Julian Perry, I just kind of noted this before the show with you. He only played 13 minutes against Indiana State. So I don't know if that's because just an off game or if maybe Tim Duryea kind of already puts like Kobe McEwen or some of the other new guys above him already in the rotation. But like, I think I'll say, like I said last week, I was the biggest culprit of over exaggerating, I guess, on some of these players on this team, how good this team was going to be this year. But I think this past 4 games we've seen, yeah, we're not going to be that great, but it's also like, we were supposed to lose those 3, like you said. It's not a death sentence.
You know, I'll say, like, here's the thing, though. I thought that after those first 3 games, I was thinking, this is a team that has real potential to be, like, elite. Like, a team that could, at some points in the season, possibly be, like, on that top 25 bubble. Now I'm thinking this is a team that will probably be good. You know, I think that we're still going to compete in the Mountain West. I think that they're still going to have quite a few games that you know, with like San Diego State, with Nevada, with tougher games that are going to go our way. And one thing that I do find encouraging from this road trip is that I feel like we've already seen the team make some changes. Like, for football, it was so frustrating because it seemed like it was just the same thing on the field every single week. We've already seen between the BYU game and the Indiana State game, obviously they really worked a lot on rebounding, and it was much better in the Indiana State game. Today, after losing to Indiana State, Coach Duryea came out and said that Alex Dargenton is going to be starting at the 4, which I think is going to be a big boost to the team. And You know, he's not like afraid to go and make lineup changes and make adjustments. And so I think that like that is definitely a point that helps me be a little bit more positive about where we're at.
Yeah, especially, I mean, this is another thing that we've talked about with several people before, or at least since the Indiana State game, is this team was going to have some bumps in the road. I mean, again, we can't stress enough, four returning players. This team needed experience. There was going to be some bumps in the road. There were going to be some nasty experiences that they were going to have in order to win. They weren't just going to come in and all of a sudden go on, be like 7-0 at this point. I mean, that just was not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point, yeah, that sucks. As a fan, you want to see them win. But it's a lot better to have them do that against Indiana State in a, to quote, I guess, Logan Jones in one of his tweets, a relatively meaningless game than in conference play.
Absolutely.
I'd much rather see this now than in just a couple weeks when we're playing like Boise State or New Mexico at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, this gives Duryea time, several good games here against, let's face it, kind of lesser opponents like the first three games that we had, where he can kind of tweak lineups, see what's going to work. We can get our shot back, which has been a major problem the past four games as well. I mean, you think about all the open threes that they had against Indiana State. If one of those falls, then we're sitting here talking about a good win, and we're 4-3.
Well, so, and truth be told, at this point in the season, we should probably be 4-3, and we're 3-4. Yeah, I'm as disappointed as anybody about that Indiana State game and about the effort that we saw in Cancun. But it's not all doom and gloom. I'm not like ready to burn down the spectrum and
I mean, we just missed
in the streets.
We just miss shots. If we make more, we're in those games. And I mean, we're still on track to have probably 15-21 season, which I think for this team right now is a good. I mean, obviously they should have a better goal than that. I think they should have the goal to win every game. But realistically, 15-21s I think would be huge to set up for the next couple years. Also, kind of, I mean, you think about the Indiana State game. I just mentioned this again. I mean, we did everything to win that game. It's just the last 2 seconds pretty much came down to a loose ball, which there's just as much chance that goes off of their leg out of bounds and we win. So, I mean, again, disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't have let them get in a position where they could win.
Yeah, that's another story entirely. But
So looking forward, the next four games are all games that, you know, I'm talking about games that we should win and shouldn't have won and what our record should be. The next four games are games that we should win.
Yeah.
We've got Great Falls, and I'll talk about them here in a second. Utah Valley, who, look, I know that they just beat BYU, and they've got some good players. And it's at Utah Valley, so that's going to be the toughest one of the next four.
But with that as well, I'll say real quick, that's a better matchup for us. They're a more perimeter-oriented team, which so are we. So, I mean,
yeah, and
I think we match up a little bit better than
that's some of the other teams. To me, that is definitely a should win. New Orleans, who is just, you know, terrible.
They're undefeated at home. They've yet to win on the road this season. So,
and Weber State, who I haven't really scouted Weber State much, but I mean, they're not as good as they have been in past years. And in past years, we've done well against them.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was a close game at Weber State. They lost Ballenboy. I think that's the only player they lost out of their starting lineup. I think they returned everything else. But, I mean, Ballenboy was kind of a big part of their team. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in the spectrum, that should be another win. So,
and we'll preview that a little bit more as it gets closer. Yeah.
But, I mean, just looking at it, we're pretty much saying this team should be 7-4 heading into conference play.
Should be. Absolutely.
I would have taken that before the season started. I mean,
yeah,
I would have hoped for more a little bit, I guess. But, I mean, 7-4, that's a pretty good mark.
I'd say before the season, I would say 7-4 is good. 6-3 is really good, still attainable, but really good. I mean, 8-3, sorry. So, you know, it's going to be like looked at as a great preseason, but if we go in these next four games, which we should win, we're right on track.
Yeah.
So,
and then just also, let's take a quick look at the Mountain West. Cause a lot of people are kind of saying like, oh, well, how well are we going to do in the Mountain West this year if we're not doing that well with Indiana State? You look at our four losses, everybody else in the Mountain West has had a terrible loss so far. Like,
there's
might be one or two that maybe doesn't, but I mean, Boise State lost to, like, Montana or something like that.
And they lost to Evansville.
Evansville, which...
which isn't a terrible loss.
Decent. It's probably on the same level as Indiana State, I guess. San Diego State,
they lost to Loyola, Illinois.
Yeah.
That's a terrible loss.
So, I mean, yes, it sucks that we're 3-4, four-game losing streak. It looks bad. But if you look at it, there's a lot of hopeful characteristics. Everybody else in the Mountain West not doing that great. We fixed rebounding against Indiana State. Again, this is a stat that blew up my mind. That was Indiana State was the fourth team this season we've held below 40% shooting from the field. So the defense is pretty dang good. Offense, I think, just needs a little bit more experience, which will come as the season progresses. I mean, I think we're in a good place and in a good shape for the rest of the season. I mean, we'll see how that plays out, but...
yeah. You know, and I think that, like, just like sitting here, it probably sounds like Daniel and I are just optimistic fans. But to be honest, you know, and I am a fan, but I'm not like the grand Aggie optimist who just looks at everything as sunny and golden. I just think that looking at our position that we're in, there's been a lot of negative, a lot of like people comparing this to the football season and a lot of people just, you know, already writing this team off. Give them a chance. Hold on. Just hold your horses. Wait till conference play. Then we'll see.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm kind of the optimistic fan a little bit. But I also recognize when stuff happens. Like, after we lost to, like, Air Force and Colorado State and Wyoming football, I pretty much said, okay, yeah, we're not that great of a team. I could understand that. I don't get that feeling, though, watching the basketball team. I mean, no, you still look at this team, ton of potential. Like, I mean, this... to me, is probably the brightest the future's looked for Aggie basketball in years, I think. Yeah. Possibly ever, given the fact that we even aren't in a good conference now. I mean, Mountain West is better than the WAC or the Big West, of course, was ever was. So, I mean...
Just try and take a step back. If you're really feeling down about this season so far, please try and take a step back and just look at it as a whole.
And then come to Great Falls and be picked up.
And yeah, and I was going to say, if you need a little pick-me-up, Great Falls is really bad. Let me ask you this, Daniel. How many teams, not including Great Falls, can you name in Montana which don't have the word Montana or state in them?
I'm gonna hope that there's like a Butte College and maybe a Helena you're College.
Probably right. I think you're just guessing here, though.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
My point is, Great Falls plays in a conference of entirely Montana schools, aside from one school, Lewis and Clark State College, who plays in Lewiston, Idaho. And they were picked second to last preseason poll in a bunch of Montana schools you've never heard of, such as Rocky Mountain College, Carroll College, MSU Northern, Montana Tech.
This school, to put it bluntly, is probably on the level of like Southern Virginia and stuff like that. They count towards our record.
So they're a step above Bristol.
Yeah, and a step above Southern Virginia, I guess. But, I mean, this should be a game that Utah State wins by like 30 or 40 points.
This is a team who has lost already this season to – and given, okay, they are 7-2, so in their realm of basketball, they're a decent team. But they've lost to the University of Jamestown and to Lewis and Clark State. But they do have this – really big marquee win over Salish Kootenai College and another one over New Hope Christian College. So
here's two things that show you how bad Great Falls is. One, we're the best team on their schedule by far.
By far.
They're, of course, in conference it's terrible, but then out of conference they play us, Seattle, and Eastern Washington. And those are the only three schools I really know.
Yep.
Second of all, anytime a school has a recruit me tab on their athletics page, it's a bad school. If you can't guess, Great Falls has a recruit me page on their athletics page. So, I mean,
I'm about to sign up.
Yeah, I mean, we'll sign up. We'll bring the forms and we'll just go to town on the players there, see if they can sign them again or whatever. But this is not a good team, as we can't stress enough.
Anyway, the point being, not that we're just trying to sit here and hate on them. That's for tomorrow when we're actually in the spectrum. The point being, Utah State should win and win big, and I really hope that they try up a few different lineups, and I'm sure that they will. I'd like to see Alex D'Argenton play a lot I'd like to see some players like Shane Rector tried out at positions like not their regular positions. I'd like to see Shane Rector try the two. I'd like to see some of the backup big men that aren't getting as much time. A little bit more Gore Barnabas. He's been a little bit underwhelming lately, and this is a game where we can afford to actually put him out there and get him a little bit more in-game experience. And I'm sure Tim Duryea is 10 steps ahead of me. So
yeah, I just want to see players start making shots. I think that's our biggest problem. I mean, we talk about like, oh yeah, winning fixes everything. For in-game stuff, making a basket fixes everything. I mean,
yep.
You could have a terrible offensive possession, but if a player makes a contested three, you got the most points you can get on a possession, regardless of what the first 30 seconds did. So this is going to be a low-stress game. It's going to be a good environment for players to just kind of get their stroke going. So, I mean, this one, and then also against UVU, New Orleans and Weber State, I think this is just kind of a tune-up session pretty much for conference play. Get shots going, get the offense flowing, make sure we got lineups at work, so that when we play Boise State on the 28th, we at least have a team that we know we can get some baskets.
Ready to
we
go.
Can play defense. I mean, that's what the next four games are all about.
Yep. Aside from the on-the-court aspect of the game, the biggest positive that I would like to throw out is that the crowd on, what was that, Saturday?
Yeah, night
Saturday. Against Indiana State was the best that I've seen in, well, last year there were a couple of pretty good in-conference games as far
UNLV
as the student
last
section
year,
goes. The UNLV game was pretty good. But I'd say that was probably top three crowds that I've seen in the last 2.5 years of Aggie basketball. The general public crowd was definitely a little bit sparse, and they didn't even want to stand up when there was 10 seconds left, which if you're sitting in that crowd and listening to this, please get everyone around you to stand up. That was pretty embarrassing. But the student section was rocking. And while that is the biggest positive, I think that that's also the biggest negative that I take from losing that game. I just hope that people continue to show up.
Yeah, I mean, I remember one game, this was like 8 years ago now, but it was when Jimmer Fredette actually came to the Spectrum. That's the best crowd I've seen ever. In the Spectrum, it was during that yelling Jimmer's boyfriend at the one BYU fan that was there. It was awesome. That Indiana State game, it didn't come close to that, I'll be honest.
No,
but it was It was nearing that atmosphere, I guess.
Yep.
It
had the right feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, and this was actually a really cool thing, is the loudest I think it got, or when it got to that like ear damaging level, wasn't after we like made a basket. It's after they called that like frankly horrible call on Jalen Moore on that 4-point play, and that place just went deafening after that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was encouraging me. Not that, like, I hope people still come, and I think we need to start winning for that to happen, but for people to get that loud simply because we kind of just got ripped off by the officials, I hope that just continues like crap.
Well, and it obviously impacts the play, because you got to look at their best shooter on their entire team lines up to shoot a 1-1 free throw, and on the first half of that 1-1, airballs it because we were in his head.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. The Spectrum magic is real. And I just hope people continue to show up, and, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, going back to even the first couple of games, we made one person from, I think, Bristol question if they wanted to keep playing. And we made that one guy, the
Telfair
from
Idaho State.
We made him reportedly try and quit the team, then cool off and get a 3-game suspension for his actions in the Spectrum because we like tore him apart. So, I mean, if you think, oh, well, the team doesn't need me, when the Spectrum's full, it can get crazy. So,
no question.
Still keep coming. Even if we're like 3-20, keep coming.
Anyways, short episode this week. One, because there's not a ton to talk about, and two, because we just missed Trevor so bad.
And three, because, I mean, we already trashed Great Falls enough.
So, anyways, we'll be back next week and the week after and the week, well, I don't know, Christmas break might see a little bit of a change. But continue to listen, please. Thank you we really appreciate anybody downloading this and listening.
Thanks, Mom.
Once again, we're on Twitter. I don't know if you follow the Section 119 account. We're often at the post-game press conferences after basketball games. Daniel was there after the Indiana State game live tweeting stuff from Coach Duryea and from the players. So if you're looking for a source to hear about the press conferences live as they happen, please follow us on there.
And if you want any questions, usually they'll have two players, I think, and then Tim Duryea. So if you want a question asked about a game, make it a good question, Sean, and we'll ask it.
Anyways, thanks again. This is Section 119. I'm Jaden, and I'm here with Daniel. And have a good morning, afternoon, evening,
goodbye, night, goodbye, whatever goodbye. You're listening to this.